when they're looking to dispose of their machines is, first of all, do not wait the last moment, because when you need to disconnect the machine, the value drop immediately. So as you are planning to dispose of it, or you're planning to replace it with a new one, inform possibly us at an earlier stage, because we can try to maximize the value of your equipment. At the end, when it's too late, you are disconnecting it. The moment you take out the electricity, the value drops. Of course, you are in a hurry to take it out of the building, and I mean, by any reason, the value decreases. So think about it on time, and this will be beneficial for you guys, mainly.
Welcome to Verify Infield, the Millwork podcast. Your host, Jacob Edmond, CEO of Duckworks, will be interviewing experts in the industry to bring you insights and knowledge about the latest trends, techniques, and challenges in millwork. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore the world of millwork. Here's Jacob.
Diego Piersanti. Is that how you pronounce it? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about his background in the industry, talking a little bit about Furwood and just the millwork industry in general, what they do there. So thanks for joining me today, Diego.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
Just share a little bit about your background, how you got to Furwood, you know, how you got into the millwork and in the machinery and industry.
Well, it's a long story, and I started a long time ago in the machinery industry, as my dad had a company that was manufacturing glass and stone working machinery. So as a kid, I was running around and trying to manufacture pieces, then assemble the parts, and then the passion for machinery started there. However, I was born in Pesaro, and is the city where one of the biggest companies involved in woodworking machinery is based. 50 kilometers from there, there is another of the biggest group worldwide on the woodworking machinery. So it was an easy path to join this, let's say, this kind of field. I've been growing with them both, and it's been a great experience. I appreciate the opportunity that they've given me in different ways. And here started the path. So at the beginning, as a CNC specialist, so more involved on the technical side of the business, specializing in CNC and drilling. And after that, moving toward a more sales-oriented profession, moving to Dubai to set up a branch for one of those companies. After 3-4 years, moving to the UK as a key account manager for the same group. And then I got in touch with Furwood. That was a kind of experience, because when I visited the factory, actually, I was expecting some buildings full of scrap. Actually, I was selling the new, so I was not expecting much from a used machinery company. And, well, when I opened the door, I got the wow effect. That was really revealing. I've seen a showroom that was at the same level of new machinery manufacturer showrooms. So the machines look really new, beside that eventually old colors that I was able to recognize. But the machine looks really, I mean, are these used machines for real? And then they explained to me all the process that they go through to recondition them to that level. There was this opportunity.
So you worked for a traditional machinery manufacturer, and then you came to Furwood, which is where you're now, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And there was this opportunity in the US for Furwood. And a joke that I used to say is that after the United Arab Emirates, where I started, the United Kingdom was missing just the big United, the United States. So absolutely. And I thought that, okay, this is a company that has a big future over there. And I'm pleased to start from the beginning, let's say.
So you were working with Fairwood in the UK, and then you took an opportunity with Fairwood in the US.
Not in the UK. Sorry, in the UK, I was still with one of the manufacturers. I joined Fairwood to move to the US.
Okay. And was Fairwood already established in the US market at that point?
Well, let's say that I started a few years back with a small team. Then COVID hit. So let's say that the business plan was in a hold for a while. And now that the business is moving quite fast, they decided to reinforce the team, adding me and as a key account manager and West Coast manager.
Could you share with our listeners who maybe aren't familiar an overview of Fairwood? Like, what are the services that Fairwood provides or the products it offers to millwork manufacturers?
Yeah, absolutely. Fairwood is a company based in Italy. It's a family-owned company where the family is absolutely active on the business every day. And we deal in used machinery. We'd like to say that we can offer a white glove services for woodworking, used woodworking machinery, because we try to provide, let's say, a premium experience to our customer. Either they are in need of selling or dispose of their machinery, or if they want to buy a used pre-owned machinery. Fairwood actually is one of the biggest companies in this sector in Europe, is absolutely well known and does business with customers starting from the small workshop up to the big corporate. And the same we're starting to do here in the US. Actually, we started a while ago, but now we want to be more involved with those companies and those customers. Why we differentiate from the others? Because we are flexible in providing our customers with different solutions, starting from as-is machinery. We buy and resell as they are. And this is something that usually auctions offer this kind of possibility. But we want to go a step further, offering the customer machines that are fully reconditioned, meaning that we strip them down up to the basement, we repaint them, we replace all the broken, of course, components, but as well the component that may be weird, but still in good condition, we want to change them. We do the testing, we do the factory acceptance test for the customer that want to go with our Fairwood approved machinery. We provide installation, training to the operators, site acceptance test, and then an additional 6 month warranty on used machinery. So this brings us quite close to the new machinery sales process, where, of course, we provide machinery that are like out of the factory, of course, a few years back. In some cases, we also upgrade machinery. So sometimes we can bring the OS system to most recent level. Let's say when they're no more supported by the OEM, we can upgrade the system. We can modify the machine for them, for the customer, based on their need. Of course, there is a technical feasibility study. If it's feasible, we need to evaluate with the customer if it is viable. And if it is, everyone's happy, we move on, and we provide, really, a white glove service for used woodworking machinery.
Okay. So you're a partner for companies that are both looking to offload existing machinery,
yeah,
upgrade, or buy new to them existing machinery. You partner in all of those types of transactions, as well as you sell refurbished machinery or just as it sits, hey, here's a machine that somebody has to sell and you place it with somebody looking to buy it.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Exactly. So if a customer is looking to dispose of something, either he is in a rush because he wants to free a building, or he has a nice piece of kit and he wants to maximize the sale value of the machinery, we are able to support them, suggest them, and of course, sometimes just address them to which is the best solution to do so.
And so you mentioned when you first went to Furwood to see the opportunity, you were surprised, like you expected to see scraps and things. I think I imagine that was, you know, you come from one of the traditional manufacturers of machines. And so I imagine before your perception was, oh, they just sell old stuff, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And that was not the case, I assume. Do you find that's also surprises customers when they find out what you guys
do? Yes, massively. I can say that because really what we're trying to do is to bring our customer to see what happens over there, because it's difficult, especially for an American audience, to move to Italy to see a factory that refurbished used machinery, because sometimes you see, okay, it doesn't worth the investment. Well, we want them to go because really you get a perception which is completely different, and you get this credibility, this trust that, I mean, blow your mind. I've been blown. And I'm in the field for a while now.
Yeah. And also, you guys partner with the traditional manufacturers to some extent, right?
Correct.
Like, it's not that you guys are, like, aftermarket or non-approved. You have relationships with Styles and SCM and the traditional manufacturers, it sounds like, right?
That's correct. I mean, we are absolutely friends with all of them, because sometimes when they need to sell, and manufacturer usually don't buy back used machinery because there are a lot of implications. Yep. Of course, they need someone that can serve their customer well. And they involved us because really, we like to partnering either with machinery manufacturers that are in need to sell, partnering with the customer that are in need either to buy or sell. So we try to really take care of people, not just being throwing a machine inside the factory and run away.
Right.
And very awesome. Very important, being the company family owned and the family is involved in the day by day operations. They understand very well what the customers are looking for, and they want to keep their reputation high.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as how you help millwork manufacturers, how Furwood does, obviously, I think at the end of the day, there's some cost savings too. You guys are working with clients, and I imagine working with what are their needs, what is their budget, and how can we find the right solution for them, as well as, you know, as you mentioned, the white glove service. A lot of companies, if they're not buying directly from a Styles or an SCM or a BSA, they're trying to save money. They're having to do a lot of work themselves and research and find a machine that maybe they can't have access to. And so also the service you guys are providing is that white glove experience. Hey, we will go find the machine for you. We will make sure that it is refurbished. It is the quality you need. It's working, and we will install it. We will train. It's a full service for specifically what they need. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the part of the job. We like to think about a consultative approach. So trying to understand the needs of the customer, see if anything in our stock may match their need. And if not, we are in search for the machinery. So we have a lot of connections, and we know customer that maybe in doubt, we sell, we do not. So we try to coordinate and make one customer happy, able to sell the machine with, let's say, some more value on it, because there is not a customer that is appreciating this configuration, this age, or this kind of equipment. So we support them on the brand if they like one or another. And again, when you buy from us, you know that someone had a look at it and the configuration seems right. And of course, sometimes it's not just about the price, which is a component of a negotiation, but sometimes it's about how fast can you get the machine or a line, because we sell also lines or Betsuan cells. I mean, we move far above the standalone machine.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
So, shifting gears a little bit, you know, you have experience now in Europe and North America, but the customer bases and millwork. What are some key differences that you've observed between those two markets within millwork?
Well, the first one that impressed me was the scale of some businesses in the US. Of course, we have big companies and big groups also in Europe, but the scale that is being reached in the US is far above that. I mean, it's not common to find companies with in Europe with 20 or 25 manufacturing plants in the country. So the scale was kind of surprising. And this is really interesting. And then, of course, having a so big country and so massive potential for customers, for millwork, you can see also there is a lot of difference starting from the small shop that does very high bespoke products, mainly in solid wood, to the big corporate that is working on more minimalistic design in furniture, let's say. While the focus in Europe still remain on a minimalistic design, that's the, say, the area where they're moving, because it's fast to produce, it's appreciated by the public, and let's say that there is less involvement of solid wood because it's more expensive, it's more difficult to manage, and it requires it's a labor-intensive product.
Right.
And you know, to create efficiency and competitivity, they're always trying to reduce the labor cost.
So in Europe, there's a lot more panel processing, sheet goods processing, and less hardwoods?
Yeah, mainly yes. Let's say, just to give you an example, sometimes you see some offices here in the US that are beautifully crafted with a lot of dark solid wood. Yeah. And this is something I've never seen in Europe.
Oh,
I mean, everything right. is kind of really minimalistic and, I mean, high quality, beautiful design, but it's just something really different.
Interesting. Do you find that the size of, like, the distance, like, U.S. covers a lot more land? And so regionally, like, this is something I think a lot of Europeans don't, haven't been to the U.S., maybe don't understand. And also the U.S. people haven't been to Europe. Like, you've got the U.K., right? Which is kind of self-contained, and it's a huge market, but you can drive top to bottom, right?
Easy.
And then obviously Europe is big, but it's a lot of countries, and kind of in the U.S., it's almost like the states are more like different countries in the U.S. to some extent, or in Europe, right? So I think that's something that people don't realize. To me, it changes the way the industry works. In the U.S., it's very regional. Like, there's people that operate, their customers are all around where they are and not the whole country. There's some that do the whole U.S., but also those big companies, like you mentioned, you were surprised at the scale of some of them. I mean, there are some companies that serve the whole U.S. They ship products all over, right?
Yeah.
And that includes just logistics different. So, like, do you get into shipping machinery and that type of stuff?
Yes, we do.
Like wrappers?
We do.
Is that different?
Of course, yes, it's different. It's a challenge. But I would say that customers in the U.S. Are used to get machinery from far away. Mm-hmm. So they are used to time and cost related to logistics. Another service that eventually we like to provide is to try to find something close by. If it is, let's say, right, in good condition or looking for an Aziz, this is a little help that we try to bring for customers that are looking in to sell and to buy.
Is that harder to do in the U.S. than in Europe?
Well, I would say so, because in Europe, moving a machine from a country to another is pretty cheap, is pretty fast, and easy job. Of course, there are not customs and, not a big pond in the middle, let's say.
Right.
But yes, that's kind of, it's an additional challenge to the job. But
in the U.S., almost everything is probably, well, one, it's having to come over on a ship if it's coming from Italy or Europe. But also within the U.S., you're probably, everything is on a truck.
Yeah.
In Europe, do you put things on trains a lot, or is it also on trucks?
Everything is on truck. Okay. It's so easy, so that close that.
It's not a big cost.
No, absolutely.
So, but are customers in Europe less patient? Like, they expect you to find something nearby and faster than in the U.S.?
Nearby, everything is nearby in Europe compared to the U.S. So that's easy. It's not a massive implication. But one of the things that customer that never dealt with used machinery don't get is the speed.
Right.
Meaning that when we have a machine, it's a single piece, it's unique in his age, in his condition, his place. And right, when you're looking to deal with used machine, you have to be ready to buy. There is no like, okay, we ask for a price and then we'll see in a month. In a month, that machine would have gone.
Right. So in that sense, you're kind of more like a broker. Like, you may have clients that say, I'm looking for this, when you find it. And then the opportunity might pop up and now you call them back.
Well, not exactly as a broker, but of course we try to, let's say, coordinate the sale for a fee. Of course, we are on the market for a profit. We are a company that needs to survive.
Right.
And usually we buy and resell, so that even the buyer knows in the middle there is a reputable company, is not buying from an unknown somewhere company, which may be as reputable as we are. Nothing to say, but who are these people? I'm just buying a machine one time and I have no idea. And the same is for the seller. So we're not trying to just brokerage. This is another thing. But we try to be in the middle to guarantee both parties that someone serious has vetted one side and the other.
I guess, are there times where a used machine, somebody will call you and say, hey, I want to sell this, and right away you think of a customer that might be a good fit for it that you've, and so you're able to call them and say, hey, I have this available. Is this something you're interested in?
Yeah. That's by part of being proactive. And we usually do that, especially with customer that, let's say somehow are involved with us, are buying from us. And we try to be proactive because we can bring them a service. They may not be interested, fair enough. But if there is an opportunity, it's a good machine. We've seen it. It's working well. And you may get it at a fraction of the price of a new one. So,
as once you've established relationships with clients, you're able to better match them with new opportunities when they come up, I imagine.
Definitely. This is important for us to visit them, to get information from them. And I mean, this just helps us to help them.
Yeah.
That's the partnership.
That's a
slide of the
a lot of the value once people start working with you is that future opportunities.
Absolutely.
So what are some unique challenges or opportunities you've found while working, you know, with at Furward in the US? Like, what are some things that you've learned over the years?
Well, as a challenge, you got it straight away. The first, logistics, especially for someone moving from Europe, was just whoa. Something that is a challenge, definitely. The other side is dealing with customers that may have not been used to deal with used machinery, so they think that they can get, let's say, a price that we are happy to provide, and wait a month and say, ah, yes, we can move forward. I'm sorry, that machine is gone. And it's not just I can place another one in production. We cannot manufacture used machines. So we have to start the discussion again.
Right, and find another one.
Yeah. And this, of course, is something that we want to educate or bring knowledge to the customer that are approaching for the first time this kind of business. While we have some others that are arriving, I need this, you have it? Yes, okay, that's the money, this is the machine, deal done.
Right.
It's a different approach, but of course it comes with experience and trust.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
Are there any like notable success stories or things that you found that is unique to you guys' business model?
Well, yes, I can say that. Of course, I cannot name names, but we are working with some of the biggest corporate in the U.S. So they're looking to us when they need a quick delivery or some machinery to replace in some department. And we're talking also big machinery.
Right.
And as well, one company bought six full automated lines from us. So loading, double-sided combi machines, drilling machines all together, all singing and dancing. And I mean, this makes us proud. So our CEO was involved in the deal, and he has a lot of experience. So was able to finalize it, customer happy, we are happy, and I mean, this is the level where we want to work. I mean, we don't want to manage, let's say, very small manual machine. It's not our specialty. It's not our business. But when you go to a certain level, then we are very strong. As well, we help small companies to move to their first level of automation. So, of course, they were a little bit scared of the investment for a new equipment, moving already a step that was caring for them. The investment was an additional worry. So we were able to provide an automated solution with a reasonable price, and they moved to this next level for them. They're happy moving forward, and now we are a partner for those, for the customer.
Awesome. And I imagine you have many customers that you help them get to a new level, and then they come back and you help them again increase, right, or grow and upgrade.
Yeah.
Because I imagine that happens a lot. Like you said, smaller shops, maybe they're introducing their first automation, and then once they get used to that, now they need to grow again and they come back for more.
Yeah. Again, sometimes, you know, companies that sell new machinery may fit 100% the need of the customer. Yep. Of course, that comes at a price and a delivery time.
Yep.
And some customers, they need that and they have to go with that. Some customers are really able to compromise a little bit on the technical aspect, save some money, get a quick delivery, and that where we fit.
Right. Awesome. So is there anything that, you know, you and I met, we were at one of the Spring Leadership Conference. I know you're very involved in some of the industry conferences and things. And you also mentioned that you like to get customers to Italy, if they can, to see your operations. What does that look like for somebody that maybe is interested in doing that? Do they obviously travel over there, and do you guys have that people regularly doing that? Do you have a process for that?
Yes, absolutely. We do that. Of course, most of the customers that are visiting us are going to Italy to visit the new machinery manufacturer or for all the businesses. And of course, they just get in touch with us and say, listen, I'm in Italy. I would like to pop in. And we're happy. We have always someone there to welcome them, to let them enjoy some fantastic Italian food. The area is amazing for meat and wine. And of course, this is an occasion. I suggest everyone that is going to Europe or to Italy for a visit, for a business visit, of course.
Yeah,
we are happy to welcome them. Just give us a shout a little bit earlier in order to arrange something. Traveling is pretty easy. Okay, the travel is not short, that I can say, but it's pretty easy to move to Italy. It's just flying to Milan and or some German places, Frankfurt or Munich.
Yeah.
So if the customer are not scared to fly, it's an easy travel.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap up, there's two key questions I like to ask every guest. I'm curious your thoughts on these. So one being, what do you see changing in the millwork industry over the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I wish to have the crystal ball, but what I can see are mainly two big divisions. So there will be one area that will specialize in minimal, fast moving and fast replaceable furniture. And this is an orientation that becomes stronger and stronger. And another wise that is going to be a very craftsmanship is going to be reductive. I think it's going to be more into art. So it's a piece of furniture will be like a unique piece. I see this kind of separation. While now we have different zones of gray in the middle, I think that moving forward, we're going to separate more and more.
So there'll be further division of those things, a more bespoke focused division, and then a more minimal mass manufacturer focused division.
That's correct. This is product wise.
Awesome. Yeah. So a little bit more like Europe here in the US, would you say?
Yeah.
As one, one facet?
I think that's the way. One of the, new changes that made me also think that is about the difference between framed cabinet and frameless cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in Europe, framed cabinet, I think I've never seen those. While in the US, it's pretty common.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing that top players are moving into frameless cabinet.
Yeah.
That definitely they are less forgiven talking about precision. So there is nothing that can hide if the cabinet is not precise. Like usually the frame covers some unsquared panels or rough edges. When you go frameless, everything is there. It's minimalistic, it's fast to produce, but you need good machines and you need to be really precise. And the designer must be really, really good.
Yeah, a lot more engineering and upfront design.
Yeah.
Program it and engineering. Well, on the opposite side, the flip side, what do you see staying the same or remaining constant?
Well, the fantasy of the customer, their flavor.
Yeah.
I think that with so many customers, especially in the US, there will be space for everyone. And of course, with different volume in different areas. But I mean, everyone likes something different and trying to be different from the other one. So I'm sure that there will be a lot of flexibility required by some customers. So mass customization for the top players. And of course, who already does bespoke, maybe can widen their customer base, being a little bit more flexible and trying to move on in something that is not just artistic or a one piece, a unique piece furniture.
Right. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking time out to share with us. If people are interested in finding out more about Fairwood or reaching out to see more information from you, what's the best way for them to do?
Well, they can contact us through the website, which is fairwoodgroup.com. They can find me on LinkedIn, and I suggest them to look at my reviews, actually, the reviews that the customer I work with they released for me, so to have an idea about the company, the person, and what we can do for them.
Awesome. I'll make sure to link those in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, you should be able to go click the link to the website and Diego's LinkedIn.
Appreciate that.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for sharing what you guys do. It's really interesting to me that we have options, and I don't think everybody knows that there are options like Fairwood out there that have the customer service, the white glove service that you guys do to get used machinery and refurbished machinery. So I'm excited to share that with everybody and hope more people are able to contact you from this.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jacob. If you allow me just a quick comment that may help our customer when they're looking to dispose of their machines, is first of all, do not wait the last moment, because when you need to disconnect the machine, the value drop immediately. So as you are planning to dispose of it or you're planning to replace it with a new one, inform possibly us at an earlier stage, because we can try to maximize the value of your equipment. At the end, when it's too late, you are disconnecting it. The moment you take out the electricity, the value drops. So call us earlier.
So yeah, if you are running the machine before you disconnect it, reach out and start making plans about selling it, because that's when the value is the highest.
Absolutely. And of course, you are in a hurry to take it out of the building, and I mean, by any reason, the value decreases. So think about it on time, and this would be beneficial for you guys, mainly.
Great advice. That's awesome. thank you again, Diego, and look forward to seeing you soon at the next conference.
Absolutely. Pleasure. Thank you for having me here, Jacob. All the best.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Do you want to stay up to date about industry insights, new content, and our community of mill workers? Go to DuckworksMW.com to sign up for our newsletter. I'll see you in the next episode of Verify in Field.